This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
My name is Flavio Vincenti, and I'd like to welcome you to the KTU annual update in transplantation in beautiful Napa Valley. We were reminiscing a few minutes ago as to how many years we've been doing this program here in Napa. It's been basically two decades, so over 20 years when we've had this meeting here. And as usual, hopefully, you'll agree with us, we put together a meeting of both important science as well as updates on what's going on at UCSF in terms of clinical trials and new programs. Before introducing Dr. Roberts, that's not my phone. I'd like first of all to thank all our industry partners who support this program, and Dr. Roberts will have a slide showing who are these partners. I'd like also to remind you, and I remind you again at the end of the meeting, that in your folder there is a sheet with directions on how to get CME, and in addition to evaluate the program. This is very important, as every year we have to assess what are the unmet medical needs and educational gaps, and respond appropriately with the program that we present here in Napa. I think, as you will see when Dr. Roberts presents the slides, there are going to be some changes in personnel at UCSF. And I think, of course, the most important one is going to be that my associate and good friend Steve Tomlanovich is going to be retiring at the end of June. Now, we're all humble enough to know that none of us are irreplaceable, but I think if somebody comes pretty close to that, it will be Steve Tomlanovich. We'll have more to say about that, and I'll tell you an anecdote of how we came ultimately to join the UCSF Transplant Service way back. But then we need at the present time to proceed with the program, and Dr. Roberts, our Chief of Service, will give you details of our outcome data and what and other interesting information about the UCSF transplant program. And I guess this is your phone, by the way. Okay.
I always thought Flavio looked like he should be singing Elton John. I don't know whose phone that is, Flavio, but maybe we should call it and find out. So I'm going to just give you, you know, my update on sort of where we're going. And, of course, this year it's pretty dramatic in terms of, you know, all the changes that we've had and people that have arrived and some people are going to depart, as Flavio said. And Steve and I stopped at Angelo's on the way up for our usual 20 years of stopping Angelo's and having a sandwich. And so we'll say more about his leaving. So, you know, we have a wonderful program, and we really need all our sponsors to help us to put on that program. And I think what these are the people that have helped us year after year. And, you know, if you can visit the tables and the booths outside, and that would be great, because they're without their help, we really couldn't have this meeting, which has always been a wonderful thing. One of the things that does happen with the meeting is that we videotape it, and you can go online to UCTV or to YouTube and actually see the program. It's kind of amazing. Between the liver program and the kidney program, I think it's like 1.3 million downloads of the over the years that we've been recording it. So it's really a highly accessed, you know, the program is highly accessed in both liver and kidney. So the surgeons have been pretty stable. We are going to hire new surgery faculty members starting in July. I can't announce the name yet. I was hoping to be able to announce it, but I think we're close. Peter Stock is off being the ASTS president. He's actually the fourth of our faculty to become ASTS president. In terms of nephrology, we have Deepika joined us, and Deb Ady is going to be joining us, returning from travels to Vermont and UC Davis, and she'll be joining us in May. And then we have our stalwart pediatric nephrology team. We need, you know, to get people to kidney transplant really takes a village. And we have a lot of people that help us in all the different aspects of getting people to transplant. We really, what we do is have, you know, the nurse coordinators really, so we have take different aspects. So we, for those patients who don't have a living donor, we have a set of coordinators who help us work up the patients for deceased donation. We have a set of coordinators that help us with getting the living donors and then the recipients ready for transplant. We have two nurses, Sandra and Stephanie, that really help us get the patients into the process of getting them to transplant and going through the initial eval process. We have our outreach coordinators, and Helen Christensen really helps our with the living donors and teaching them about transplantation and how to be a living donor. And then after the patients get transplanted, we have our inpatient crew of nurse practitioners that really help us get the patients through the hospitalization. Sally helps us with the pancreas transplants on the outpatients. We have our outpatient nurse practitioners, and then we have the pediatric nurse practitioners that help with both the pre and post transplant management of the pediatrics. And so we've been expanding our nurse practitioner team both on the inpatient and the outpatient. And then it takes another group of people to get all these people help us manage all the people. I have Carolyn Light and Melissa Parente are the managers. Reese Foley and Kara Campbell are really the ones that on the hospital side that help us with, you know, things such as contracting and all those kinds of things that are important in terms of making the whole place work. We have our social workers and then the financial counselors that are crucial to get the patients to transplant and then help them stay on their medications after transplant, which, you know, can be a real struggle. And so we really rely on those financial counselors to help us. As we talked about, Steve is going to retire on June 15th. I talked to his wife and he yesterday, and I said, I'm holding on to one leg, and she's pulling on the other. And I think I'm losing the battle, but I'm not sure we're going to split him like a wishbone or not, but I'd take his leg if I could have it. So we're still looking for a new medical director. We've interviewed a number of people, but just haven't found somebody that can replace Steve yet, and I'm not sure we'll find anybody to replace Steve. So in terms of what we've been doing with all these people, we have about 5,000 people on our wait list. We have, you know, that's a substantial part of the U.S. wait list. The risk of dying on our wait list is about what you'd expect given our region and the difficulty in terms of getting a kidney transplant in California. Typically, it's a 5 to 7 year wait. But we have been doing a fair number of transplants. Our living donor numbers are going up, and I think with the change in the deceased donor allocation, we'll probably see an increase in our deceased donors. So it's a little bit uncertain because it's a new system, and there's been some surprises, and Chris Fries will talk about some of those changes. So we list about 1,000 patients every year, and about 1 in 5, if you go back and look at those 200 patients, so about 1 in get a deceased donor transplant. So of the rest of those patients, they either die, become too sick to transplant, or become inactive on the waiting list. So without a living donor, you're not in very good shape, particularly for diabetics, where only about 1 in 10 survive long enough to get a transplant. You know, so that's after 5 to 7 years on dialysis, a lot of those patients just can't get, become too sick and to get a transplant. In terms of our outcomes, they've been good. They've been good for a number of years, and everybody's gradually catching up with us in terms of our graft and patient survival. You think about even when I started at UCSF, which was in 1988, our patient graft survivals were nowhere near this, but with all the new, changes in immunosuppressive medications, and despite we're transplanting an older population with a set of kidneys that probably aren't as good or from as young donors as we did in the past, I think it's the improvement in kidney transplantation is pretty spectacular. So Chris is going to talk more about the change in this kidney allocation system. It really had made some large changes, and I'm going to leave him to help you understand, some of the changes that we're seeing and what we will expect to see over the next year. So we have, changes in the healthcare reform with covered California. There's lots of insurance options, not are all great for those patients who are on the transplant waiting list, and I'm sure that, as you know, there's challenges in terms of getting approval to see the patients, and I'm sure your guys are being challenged in terms of those patients being on dialysis. We, as I talked about before, our social workers are incredibly important to us to help us with the patients both pre- and post-transplant, getting them to transplant and then getting them to stay on get coverage for their medications after transplant. So the deceased donor numbers have been decreasing. Our OPO continues to do pretty well, but we're still not as good as we were in the distant past. So living donation still remains the best option for our patients. In order to help more patients get living donations, we have the we do these paired exchanges. So if a patient has an incompatible donor, say their blood type incompatible, or have the recipient has antibodies to the donor, we can allow the exchanges. We do these one of our methods doing this, there's a national registry called the National Kidney Registry that allows us to do exchanges across the country, and we've performed 80 of those paired exchange transplants, and we've been also using our exchange transplants within UCSF. It works a little bit better in terms of trying to get patients who have some time pressure in terms of getting their transplant done, that it works a little bit faster if we do them internally. And the ones we see are, as I talked about, are blood type compatible, cross-match compatible, and then donor size or age. And one of the compatibility problems is that, we have a large young man who needs a transplant, and his only donor is his mother, who's 65 and 5'4". And that means that recipient is going to get a kidney that's relatively small and old. And that is not necessarily the best kidney for him, but we can use that if the patient and his donor are willing to go into an exchange, we can actually exchange that with, somebody that would really benefit from that older, smaller donor kidney, somebody that, say, has a difficult-to-cross-match patient. And so we can use those groups, though they have compatible donors and recipients, to actually help us getting more of the exchange transplants done. And they're sort of the standard one would be, sort of two people that are, say, blood type A and blood type B, so and another group that are B and A, and then they exchange. Or we have these chains where, UCSF donor donates to somebody then at UCSF, and that donor goes to that donor's kidney goes to UCLA, and you have these chains, and there's been, I think the record, something like 60-some plus kidney transplants done all over the United States in one chain. So the advantage of it is that with this small older donor to large young recipient is that they can the recipient can receive a living donor kidney, which will have better function at 1 year as compared to the original donor. The donor does get to provide not only for their recipient, but they also may facilitate many other transplants that could happen. The disadvantage is that donors giving to a recipient that they may not know, and probably about 40% of the people that we talk to about this decide that they only want to give to their recipient. And it may take a little time before we can get that transplant arranged, and so that's why we're offering more transplants sort of within UCSF, because the logistics of them are much easier. Just to switch gears a little bit, talk about we've been still doing the total pancreatectomy with auto islet transplants. So it's for patients with chronic pancreatitis. So those patients have chronic pain, and it turns out you can help them with their pain by removing their entire pancreas, isolating the islets, and then reinfusing them. And we've been doing that. I'd say we're Dr. Posselt's probably up to actually one or two of these patients a month now, so it's really been helpful, and it's really going to help us, I think, down the line when we get FDA approval for islet transplantation, which we're hoping will happen in the next year. So I'd like to have all you enjoy the meeting, and please, please visit our sponsors, because they're important for us to have this meeting. And I know it's a beautiful day, and you'll all enjoy the golf tomorrow, I'm sure. Thank you.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.